Almighty God, as we continue our worship of you, give us the gift of knowing our deepest need and bringing that deep need and offering it into the hands of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in doing so, knowing and leaving here within his deep peace. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Good morning. Today is a great day in the life of the church, our church. We have just had our parish meeting. Many of you were in that parish meeting. And as we gather as a church today and we consider who we are as members of St. Martin's, it gives us an opportunity to kind of be reminded of the things that bring us together, the things that we believe. For instance, what a great thing to know that no matter what we face, nothing is beyond God's reach. No problem ever surprises God. He never scratches his head and says, I just don't know what to do. There's no sin too horrible to forgive. No amount of guilt too much that is beyond the capacity of the healing offered by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. You and I, we hold fast to the truth that we have a loving God whose name actually is love, the Apostle John tells us. If you experience love in your life, you are actually experiencing the very presence of God, whether you know it or not. And his love does not run out. There is an endless supply. His love does not depend on what I do. If I'm better today than I was yesterday, he does not love me more. If I'm worse tomorrow than I am today, he does not love me less. His love does not ebb and flow. It does not wax and wane. God is good, and it's good to be part of a church. It's good to be part of the St. Martin's family. It's a blessing. These are some of the things that we believe, you know. This is not a bowling league. This isn't a bridge club. It's not a college Greek organization. You and I are part of an eternal enterprise with God that will last forever. The church is literally the very presence of Christ on earth. You know, there are a lot of things that the church does that are important, that are crucial. We serve the needy. We reach out to those who are in pain in some way. We provide a place of fellowship. Our most important work, evangelizing those who know not the love of God. These are all important things that we do, part of our mission, but perhaps there's no greater privilege than the privilege of the work of the church that you and I call prayer. Prayer brings peace to our souls, and it brings peace to the world around us, and God knows we need peace in our world. Here's a paraphrased version of Philippians 4, 6 through 7, paraphrased. But in that little verse, Paul says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is more wonderful than the human mind can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Isn't that good news? That's how we experience God's presence and his peace. That's how we share God's presence and his peace. Paul writes that when you are a person of prayer and a person of peace, you are actually the fragrance of Christ. You bring the aroma of Christ into the room, into your cubicle at the office, into traffic on I-45 South, into the locker room at school, into the lives of your neighbors on your street. You are the aroma of Christ, 2 Corinthians 2:15. And how do we do that? By prayer. Our worship, the Episcopal way of worship, is filled with something we call collects. A collect is a prayer. It helps us collect ourselves, bring focus to our being through a specific set of words. And the collect that Chad Martin read for us a moment ago, prayed for us a moment ago, the opening collect, "Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things both in heaven and on earth. mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Our time, this time, right now. Hear our supplications and grant us your peace. We want peace. We're called to be people of peace. How do we do that? How do we get that? By prayer. Let me share with you. It's an old joke, but it's one of my favorites. So this middle-aged couple, both age 60, were celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary. And the angels get word to God, and God is so happy about it. He comes to them and says, you know, in celebration of your 3 decades of wedded bliss, I'm going to give you anything you ask for in prayer today, right now. And the wife said, wow, well, that's great. I've always wanted to go on this Caribbean cruise. So that's my prayer. And God went, poof. There were 2 first-class tickets to a cruise in the Caribbean. The husband said, well, that's great. This evidently really works. If I'm honest, I've always wanted to be married to someone 30 years younger than me. So that's my prayer. And God goes, poof, and made the man 90 years old on the spot. It's also, you know, exactly what you pray for. So how does prayer work? I mean, if our collect is a prayer that asks God to, in fact, hear our supplications, our prayers, and if the fruit of that prayer is peace, as the collect suggests, how does that work? I mean, what do we do when in life all those pieces just don't come together? And we've had that, haven't we? I mean, we've had those times. Some of you might have had that on Christmas Eve last month. You bought the present for your child or your grandchild. When you opened it, there were those 3 words that everyone hates to read, some assembly required. And you got down to the very end, and there was a missing piece. It was a bolt or a screw. Where do those pieces go? Where do they go? I think I know. I think the devil takes them. He has this army of demons he sends out in Advent to kind of collect them in days before Christmas. There's a huge warehouse in hell right now just full of those little pieces. You know, most of life should come with that disclaimer. Some assembly required. None of us gets out of this world without being worked over. Relationships, marriages, children, work, all of them should come with those words, some assembly required. But then what happens when we get to that missing piece where it doesn't all fit together? Where do you turn? What do you do? Do you get angry? Do you get drunk? Do you act out? Do you get even? Or do you pray? Before I go on, I'm going to be honest. I'd like to tell you that throughout my entire Christian life, you know, when the pieces didn't come together, I immediately turned to prayer every time. But that would not be true. I've turned in lots of other directions rather than prayer to help try and help that missing piece part. And a lot of them were not godly. But you and I know, really, that as Christians, the first place to turn with our supplications, with our needs, is prayer. Part of the problem might be is that we've made prayer a little difficult. We've added so many layers to prayer. We talk about prayer posture, prayer languages, prayer beads, prayer places, prayer shawls, prayer candles. These may be helpful, but they may also get in the way. If you read through the whole Bible, the Bible's full of prayers. A lot of the prayers are very simple. Some are long, but a lot of them are brief, and they're beautiful in their brevity. The psalm that David Dunlap read for us a moment ago, Psalm 111, Hallelujah, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. That's a prayer of thanksgiving. David's prayer of confession from Psalm 51, have mercy on me, Lord, cleanse me from my sin. Mary's beautiful prayer of relinquishment. Let it be to me as you have said. Jesus' prayer of sorrow and grief without words. Jesus wept. Or his prayer of mercy from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These are short, simple prayers, not difficult, not earth-shattering. Not even very eloquent, just a need spoken from the heart. So I want to give you a prayer today that I think will be helpful. Somebody who's become increasingly a mentor and a friend to me, Max Lucado, shared this with me. It's called the pocket prayer. It goes like this. Father, you are good. I need help. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a prayer you can learn pretty easy. You can carry it around with you during the day. You can actually put it in your pocket. You can say it so much it becomes a kind of background music in your head. Father, you are good. You're always good. There may be bad things in the world, bad things in my world, evil things. But you, God, you're always good. I need help. I need help walking into this office or meeting. I need help going into the doctor's examining room. I need help in this conversation I'm about to have with my boss or my child or my spouse. I need help. They need help. My friend with cancer. My brother who can't stop drinking. My partner who just lost her job. My wife has an eating disorder. The president needs help. Our country needs help. The world needs help. Help. And then a word of thanks. Thank you. I'm going to trust now that no matter what happens, God is still good. I'm still breathing. I still have a heart that is beating. I still have even the desire and the will to pray. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer is not so much a 40-day retreat or a 2-hour quiet time. It may be those things. And I have found deep experiences from pulling away for a season, a long season to pray. But the older I get, the more I find it's more of kind of an ongoing conversation with God. Paul tells Christians in Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. That conversation is a kind of unbroken communion with God, such that you always live in an awareness of God wherever you go, whatever you do. You begin to sense that you're not living on earth alone, but you kind of have one foot here and one foot in God's kingdom. That's not a bad place to be. Prayer is powerful not because of the way we pray, but because of the one who hears it. If prayer depends on us, our clarity of mind, our purpose, on saying the right words in the right way at the right time, well, then we're sunk. But if it depends on the one who hears it, well, we have hope. We always have hope. We see throughout God's history with his children, sprinkled all throughout the leaves of Holy Scripture, not just an invitation to pray, but the effectiveness of prayer. When we pray, God hears our prayers. It's that simple. Now, there are, of course, things we can't change with prayer. We can't change the past. We can't change history. We can't change the nature of God. You and I will always be in need of God's forgiveness, his grace, his love. There are certain things that are fixed in eternity, and they will not be changed by prayer. But there are certain things that, again, my friend Max Lucado calls the lower story down here on earth, in which God wants to partner with us to make a difference. And our prayers, heard and answered by God, literally can change the water of life to the sweet wine of eternity, can bring hope where there was no hope, can bring healing where there was only sickness, can bring wisdom where there was only confusion, can bring peace where there was only panic and worry and fear. You and I are called to be children of God in a world that is often hostile to God. And yet we're not off the hook. As his children, the work never stops. The transformation is always going on. Life is on the job training for the life yet to come. And the workout room, the gym, the aerobics machine for that life is prayer. What an incredible thing that you and I get to speak to God Almighty to bring our problems to him. And here's what you need to know. If it matters to you, it matters to him. If it matters to you, it matters to God. What a beautiful truth. You know, in my work, I've been fortunate to pray with all kinds of people Your clergy get to do that. Many of you have done that, but sometimes the collar has a different introduction. I've prayed with people before and after surgery. I've prayed with people in my office. I've prayed with people on the way to death. I've prayed with prisoners. I have prayed with people in places of deep need, homeless shelters and supper lines. Those kinds of prayers can often mean that this friendship can kind of spring up overnight. And one friendship was with Gene Cernan, the last man to step on the moon. We met a few years back when I invited him to participate in our Veterans Day service. And that meeting began with a speedy friendship that included meals and laughter and jokes and a lot of stories. We were having dinner one night at our house, and I just built a table in our backyard, and he actually made fun of me. He said, "Yeah, you know, I could have helped you with that. I am an engineer." But also included a lot of prayer, increasingly so, as I was blessed to travel with Gene and his family through an illness and a decline, and ultimately Laura and I shared with him his last day here on earth before he moved from this life to the next. We held Gene's memorial service here at St. Martin's just a little over a year ago. As a kid who grew up in the Mercury and Apollo programs, I was just thrilled to get to know him better. And the first time we had more than a few minutes together was a meal that we shared. It ended up lasting about 2 hours. And one of my first questions, I said, "I want to ask you some things. They're probably going to sound silly," but I said, "You know, what happened if there was a problem with the lunar module?" And some of you know the answer to this. I said, "Well, what was plan B?" And Gene smiled and said, "There was no plan B. There was this one engine that took you down, and then it was done, and one engine that took you back up. And if that didn't fire, that was it." You know, really, prayer is a little bit like that. I mean, you can get to the end of your rope if you want, but at some point, the pieces are not going to come together, and nothing in this life, in this world, is going to give you what you need most. There's only one engine that kind of propels you into the presence of God, and that is prayer. There's no plan B. So what do you say? Let's give it a try. This was really hard at the 8 o'clock, but you've warmed up, so I think it's going to be a little bit better. So if you've got something in your lap, I'm going to ask you to take it and put it aside. Your worship booklet, your prayer book, your hymnal. A few of you were playing with your iPad when you came in. Put that aside. And then I'm going to invite you to place your hands in your lap, maybe on your knees, in front of you. Just turn them up like this. And you know, as Episcopalians, you don't have to raise them any higher than your knees, but if you feel the need to do higher, feel free. So now close your eyes and keep your eyes closed. And I'm going to invite you to visualize putting that problem, that place where the pieces of your life aren't coming together, place it in your hands. You're afraid about your grandchild, or you can't get rid of that old grudge, or you are really lonely, or you're facing tremendous temptation. Or you are so worried right now about the cracks that have appeared in your marriage, or those memory slips in the one you love. Whatever it is, if it matters to you, it matters to God. So now say this. I'm going to say the prayer. I want you to repeat after me each word, each sentence. So let's begin after I say, "Father," say together, "Father, you are good. I need help. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen." Okay. Now, you just gave it to God. Something supernatural just happened. You don't have to face that problem anymore alone. You're not alone with that problem. It's no longer just up to you. You've given it to Christ. You did what he asked you to do. Made your supplications known to him. Now, you may catch me at the door and say, Russ, what's going to happen next? I don't know. I really don't. Your prayer may be answered today. It may be dramatically. It may happen slowly. Or it may seem not to happen at all. But of this you can be sure. It's no longer just up to you. You can live in the expectation of an answered prayer. So prayer is the work of the church. Is St. Martin's work. It's your work. It's my work. We do lots of other things in the church, but prayer is the privilege of our partnership agreement with God in Christ. You may also say at the door, hey, Russ, you know, every time if I take a problem, every time I have it to Christ, you know, I'm going to be talking to Christ all day long. Kind of done my job then, haven't I? Let me share one more thing that Gene told me as a way to close. And he talked about this quite openly, and more so in the days leading up to his death. Also, he talked pretty openly about the fact that he was not a perfect man. But he found increasingly solace in his deepening relationship with God. I asked him point blank one day, I said, what was it like to be there in space on the moon? And Gene said, you know, once he came to terms with the fact that there was only one way back home, he actually began to enjoy the time there. You can pull it up on YouTube. There are old movies of him singing as he skips across the lunar surface. But then he said, you know, when I looked from the lunar surface all the way back to Earth, when I saw that big blue ball floating in the middle of space, that place that you and I call home, and then he kind of teared up and he said, I realized I was sitting on God's front porch. I realized that we were all God's children. I realized I was with God right then and there, and it was a great place to be. There really is no plan B. There's only plan P. Prayer. Take your problems to Christ first. Tell him, I need help. And before long, you'll find yourself a child of God, completely dependent on him. And in that dependence, in that deep need brought to him, you'll find your peace. You'll find you're the apple of his eye. You'll find yourself sitting on God's front porch, rocking back and forth in faith and grace and in peace. Talking with him all the time. Talking with him forever. Amen.